We are going to be taking a break for 5 weeks from our series in Exodus. Just a brief hiatus, and we'll continue through Exodus in the summer. We're calling this short little series, The Discipleship Pathway. And what we are going to do in this series is lay out where we are going as a church. What is going to become our core competency as a church? Let me give you a picture of why this is important. This is a little bit of I get to brag on my kids. This last week, well, let me start here. We have three kids, 10, 7, and 5. One of the joys when your kids are about that age is trying out different sports. And so over the last few years, we've tried out soccer, we've tried out basketball, we've tried out wrestling, and some of those have stuck to varying degrees. And recently, my wife was like, well, how about track? And my kids were like, yeah, sure, that'll be fun. So we didn't really know where to start. We found a club online. My wife researched it. And we sign up. We go to the info meeting, and it seems like this is going to be great. So we show up Tuesday to the first practice. Now, I knew things would be a little bit more intense in this track club, when as the children are all taken over to begin stretching and whatnot, they take the parents aside and they tell us, listen, we will train your children. The point here is to train them. We have trained all Americans. We have had Olympians. We didn't realize we'd sign them up. I was like, this is why it costs so much, because we signed them up for the best one, right? And they said, but we are, our real core thing is we are going to love hard on your children. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And I knew it was going to be really good when, as he's telling us that, I look over at the field, and there are all these kids, and they're in a circle, and they're having them do ab workouts. And as one of the kids is trying to, like, kind of slack off, and he starts, like, gets up and starts tying his shoe, kind of, like, stops doing the sit-ups. And the coach comes over and goes, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just tying my shoe. He's like, what's tying your shoe? What's your shoes got to do with doing crunches? He was like, oh. He was like, get back to work. And I was like, oh, I'm going to love this, right? So then they start having the kids run. And they not only then, they're like, we're going to do a 15-minute run. And so they have the kids running, and they're making sure they're keeping up at a pace. But it's just a decent pace. But it's a 15-minute run, which is pretty challenging at that age. And then after that, then they line them up, and they have them run hills. For 30 minutes, run hills. And they're running hills. And my children are looking back at me as they're like 5 minutes into this, looking at me like, did you send us to military camp? Like, we're gonna die out here. The best part is Claire, my little one, 5 years old, tiniest one out there, and she's just huffing and puffing, and her tiny little legs are keeping up with all these junior high kids, right? But it was this idea of training, right? And then pushing yourself. And we get done with the first practice, and all the kids are dying. They're like grouping up the kids afterwards. Two kids throw up, like they vomit. My kids have never seen people exercise to the point where they throw up. And they're like terrified by this. They get in the car, like, my legs hurt. I got a headache, and I didn't have enough water. And they're like, people were throwing up. Like, my daughter said, this isn't healthy. And I was like, actually, I think this is just what training looks like. They're getting you into shape. They're setting a standard. And they're like, we don't want to go back. And I was like, listen, sometimes it's helpful. It's healthy to do hard things. It is. Like, you know, and I give all the cliches. It's like, you know, this is weakness leaving your body. And we had all these different kind of conversations. But I was like, you know, we're going to go back. And they were like, okay, we're going to go back. So then the next day, they're like, okay, what? You know, my legs are sore. And I was like, you know, you got to keep moving. So we go out for a little run. And then Wednesday comes, and they're ready. They go into practice. And they train them even harder this time. Even harder. And my kids, they get done in, and they're pushing through, and then afterwards, they're talking in the car about how that was really hard, but my son's back there, and he was like, but look, feel my arms, I'm getting stronger. And I was like, they're running. I was like, I mean, it's your legs, buddy, but sure, you know, like, he's like, I'm going to be strong. And I was like, I'm raising Batman. This is awesome. And then after yesterday, the Saturday practice, it's the third day, and of course, the crowd of kids is dwindling. There aren't as many kids there, but my kids get all the way through the practice, and we're in the car on the way home, and they're worn out. And my daughter, she says to me, she says, my oldest, she goes, man, that was really hard. She's like, but I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger. And so then after, they were like trying to get, they're like, let's go run some hills. And I'm like, Daddy ain't running hills, buddy. All right, this is great. This is great. I'll encourage you, you know. But it was this idea of what I've loved is seeing my kids grasp this thing. Because they start talking to one of the coaches, took them aside, was working on their stride, and they had some natural tendencies towards this. And they can see a picture now, but they're like, I want to get faster. I can already feel that I'm faster. I can already feel that I'm stronger. I can feel that I could excel at this. But it takes hard work. And it does take leaning in. And it takes this training mentality. And the reason why I tell you that is because in some way we hear that and we're like, yes, like I get that. Maybe it's athletics for you. For some of us, it's not athletics. Maybe it's something like academically, right? Maybe it's developing a skill because of a career field you want to go into, research skills. All of us understand that if things that are worth our time, things that are worth the energy of our lives, they take training. They take hard work. They take a certain mindset that we know we have to push through the things that are hard. And here's why I share this. Because I think often, while we know this on one level, and to some degree we push ourselves in different domains in that training mindset, often we forget that when it comes to our spiritual lives. Often we forget that at the core of our calling in following Christ, as we saw in the scripture reading, is to train in godliness. The reason why we are going through this series and why we're starting here is we want our core competency as a church to be training in godliness. We want our core competency to be discipleship, to knowing how to follow Jesus, and having a mindset that says, even in the midst of the ups and downs and the joy and the euphoria in the midst of it, and the ups and downs through all phases and seasons of life, that we would have a mindset that says, my main goal on this earth is to train in godliness through every stage of life until I'm brought home to be with Christ. And we want our core competency as a church to be learning how to do that well. So what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks is this, or today and the next 4 weeks, is we're going to lay out how we are going to do this. We are going to be releasing, setting up, whatever you want to call it, this core program in the church being the discipleship pathway. We're going to be laying out the actual, like, what is that pathway? What are the steps? What do you need as a disciple? I'll come back to that at the end. But here's where we're going to go today. I'm going to look at what we need. What do we as disciples need in this training? Then second, we're going to look at why this is so vital now. Why is this so vital right now, 2024, in the church in the West? And then third, the pathway forward. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you for this reminder that you've called us to train in godliness, to have this mindset that we would grow, that the muscles of our faith, the muscles of perseverance, the muscles of endurance, the muscles of godliness, the muscles of character, of righteousness, of hope, of peace, of humility, that we would grow and become more like Christ. And Lord, that would lead to a fullness of life that you intend for us in this life and in the next. And so, Lord, would you give us for each of us, would you just peel back the blinders or the things that might be kind of distracting us or even putting us in kind of a passive disposition towards you, so that, Lord, we would see the joy that it is, the high calling you've placed on us, and just even you being cheering us on and saying, go, go, you can do this because of my grace. And so, Lord, would you show us the way forward? In Jesus' name, amen. So what do we need? What do disciples need? Look at, again, in 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 7, Paul, and by the way, 1 Timothy is a letter that Paul's writing to his kind of his young protege, his Padawan, right, in the faith. And Timothy is this younger pastor who's trying to figure out how to lead a church. And he's trying to figure out how to structure it. What are the goals of the church? And he says this to him towards the end. He says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. So Paul at this point, and we're in the next few weeks, we're going to go back a chapter earlier, to unpack a few other things in this series. But this is towards the end when Paul's kind of summarizing things. And he's saying, listen, in every day, there are going to be a lot of silly, like, things are going to distract you. There are a lot of things that you can put your focus on, put your attention on. And that's what Paul's talking about, these irreverent, silly myths. And some of this, were in their context, were literally some kind of different pagan mythologies that they were following and trying to mix in with the faith, and like kind of a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of Jesus over here, and kind of mix them all together, right? In our day, a lot of this is, yes, it could be different worldviews and whatnot, but we do live, this is why this is going to be important. We live in an age of distraction. I don't think that that's going to surprise anyone. We literally live in a world where most of our time is spent on devices that are programmed and have algorithms. There he goes. I said it. I just have to say angry. Algorithms. Where they are designed because we figured out over time. When I was younger, what I knew was when it first came up where you could like review things online, it caused this crisis because they realized you are more 7 times more likely to post a negative review as you are a positive review. There's something about what motivates human beings is both love and hate, and especially hate and anger and discord. And so most of the algorithms are designed, it's gonna be distracting. It's designed, our attention economy is designed around getting a hold of your anger. It's designed around getting a hold of the thing that kind of gets you so fueled up and angry that it gets you to turn and focus on this thing all the time. We live in a world that's constantly trying to get us to focus not on training in godliness, but anything other than that. Everything around us is designed in this way. So we'll come back to that in a moment, and this is why it's so important. But Paul says, don't have nothing to do with these things. Like, just don't put your attention on those things. And that doesn't mean topics in our day don't come up, that there's a time and a place to address them. But he's saying, make the core thing that you focus on, he says, rather let it be training in godliness. Let your focus be this day in and day out. See, here's the thing. I think what happens, the reason why we're distracted by all these things is because oftentimes we don't already have an intention for our time and our energy. And Paul's saying, make your time and your energy so focused on Christ and developing that. And throughout this series, we'll talk in different ways we focus that and do it practically. But focus so much on Christ that really those things kind of lose their flavor. They just don't grip you as much because there's something bigger that is your aim. But he says, rather, train yourself for godliness. Now, first, let's talk about godliness there. Paul says, train yourself for godliness. What does he mean by that? Well, a chapter earlier, and I don't have the passage up here, so if you have a Bible, you can turn there, but it says this, a chapter earlier in 3:16. It says, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. And then what does Paul do? After he says, godliness, what and the mystery of God, what is this? He says, well, here's how we can understand. Because godliness is to be like God in some way. Not become God, but be like God in some way. Act like him. Live in accordance with his design. And he says, this is the mystery of godliness. And then listen to what he does. He has this little poem about Jesus' incarnation. He says, he, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. So what's Paul doing there? What he's saying is, you know how we know what godliness is? It's not by just trying to come up with as many rules as we can. It's also not just by kind of following the cultural movements of your day or ideologies of your day. It's not guesswork. We know it because Jesus, God, became flesh. And we know by looking to Jesus and following him, that is how we grow in godliness. So when Paul says then to Timothy, train for godliness, what he's saying is train yourselves to follow Jesus. Train yourselves to become like Jesus. Train yourselves, apprentice in the life of Jesus. And so our core competency as a church, our primary objective is that we would help you train in godliness, train in following Jesus, to hold up the truth of who Christ is, the truth of his redemption, the truth of his grace, and the truth of his calling upon us. This is why our mission as a church is to help you know, love, and obey Jesus. That's just a definition of making disciples, that you would know Jesus, and as you know him, you would love him more and more as you realize his holiness, yet in your sinfulness, yet his grace and his call upon your life. You would then love him because of his love poured out upon you. And then as you love him and you experience that horizontally with other believers, then that would overflow into a life of obedience to a degree that almost at times, instead of know, love, and obey, it's almost know, love, and enjoy. Because it's just, it brings you pleasure to follow him, to serve him. And then, of course, as you do that, and you do that in circumstances that could be challenging, through difficult seasons of life, you go back around to the beginning of that cycle, learning new things about Christ, peeling back the onion and learning further, deeper truths about God. Sometimes things just land a little bit deeper in your soul over time, and the cycle starts again. So when Paul says train in godliness, he's saying, focus, make the aim of your life, the primary aim, to know Christ, to follow him. So what is this training? So in the middle of one of the runs, okay, one of my children, I won't say who to save face for him, they're running, and they're just kind of, you can tell they're just kind of like halfway doing it, right? Kind of jogging, and the coach goes, they said, are you exercising or are you training? They looked at him like, what do you mean? And I got what he meant right away. What he was saying to them was, are you just out for a fun run, just going through the motions, or are you training for something? See, this is what Paul means by training. Well, let me put up exercising first. Exercising, and I'm going to juxtapose these. Exercising is kind of just going through the motions. Exercising is just kind of, you know, and there's nothing wrong with exercising. If you're like, man, I exercise, I don't train. I'm not, don't take it this way. When it comes to our spiritual lives, though, Paul says to be training. Not to just be going through the motions, not to just be kind of out for a fun run, but he's saying have a goal and train for it. And it's to follow Jesus. That's your goal. So what is training? What sets it apart? Training has two parts. There's a regimen and there's resistance. Okay, sorry, you're going to have to write these down. I am, at 6 o'clock this morning, God had a different sermon, and God said, preach this one. So there are no slides, okay? So training is a regimen, and it is resistance. So a regimen means that there are things in your life, things that you plan to do, that you come back to again and again, that are a part of the rhythms or habits of your life, okay? So regimen, like if you're working out and you're training, you have a regimen of, okay, I'm going to do these different, you know, these different movements on these different days. I'm going to lift this much on this day and lift this much, and I'm going to do this many reps and this many sets of something. Paul is saying that there need to be rhythms and habits in your life that you know you're going to come back to. Things like being in God's Word, meeting and communing with God, being in community with others. Also things like being around the body of Christ when they gather every week. Next week, we're going to be looking at why Sundays, when we call it coming to church on Sundays, why that is central to our discipleship. It's not just something Christians do because we're supposed to do it. But we have these rhythms and patterns to our life, serving others, tithing, different rhythms or regimens that we go through even in our workplace, in the classroom. And so we have these regimens, but we also need resistance. In other words, increasing challenge. Things that offer resistance so that muscles grow, right? Like, if I've used this illustration before, but if I pick up this little COVID communion cup, right? COVID cups, then if I'm like, hey, you're like, what are you doing? And I'm just sitting there like this, and you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just trying to build some muscle, man. Right? You'd be like, I don't know if that offers enough resistance for you to build muscle, right? You need more resistance, more weight. And a training means that you are willing to put yourself into situations that are going to challenge your faith. It means that you're willing to let others speak into your life
in a way that not only encourages you, but also calls you to take that next step. Because or else what happens over time is we just fall back into exercise and going through the motions. And so that means perhaps that it could be reading God's word, and then now it's the challenge to begin to memorize God's word. That's one for me. That's one for me right now. That could mean that if you're a dad or a mom, that it goes from just being in God's word and kind of doing the Christian thing to now taking that into when you're putting your kids to bed and having kind of a regimen with how you read to them and start communicating to them the Bible and praying with them. That could be a regimen that's also an increasing resistance or challenge in this season. So you grow those muscles as a mom and dad leading your children, discipling them. You see what I mean? Training is that always looking for what is that next step. And this is why the tagline for the discipleship pathway is going to be helping you take your next step in Christ. Each of us need to be able to locate what is that next step that God is calling me to. Not to do the entire leap, not to do the entire journey, because what happens is oftentimes we go, I'm supposed to follow Jesus, I'm a disciple, and then we begin to try to operate, if we're like 25 years old, as if we're an 80-year-old who's been following Jesus for 60 years, and then when we can't do it, then we feel guilty, and we feel filled with shame, and like we're a failure. No, God's grace, God calls us to run a race, and that race is run at the pace of grace. And we take one step at a time, following Christ and growing in our faith. So training and godliness, what we need is a training mindset. Lord, where can I train? What is that next step? What are you calling me to? Is it to share my faith here? Is it to take this step in certain habits and disciplines? Could it be to remove something from my life? Could it be to invest in my marriage? On and on and on. Different ways God calls us to train. And why? Because he says in verse 10, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Like bodily training is of value, right? We all know this. But godliness is of eternal value as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What Paul is saying is you are called to follow Christ because Christ has called you to a life of joy and peace, righteousness. Listen, life is going to have its challenges and it's going to have its hard seasons whether you follow Christ or not. We don't avoid it by not following Christ. Rather, what Jesus says is I want you to lean into those hard seasons in life while following me. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a harvest that's reaped in your life as far as character. If you want to have a godly marriage, you will not stumble into it. If you want to have a healthy, thriving marriage, if you want to have a healthy, thriving home, if you want to have a career in which you have a sense of how God is using you and how God is using you in that field to develop that field and cultivate that field, if you want to have a sense of how God at the end of your life left a legacy through generations that will continue long after you, all these things on and on, we will not stumble into these things. We will not drift into them. Jesus says, I want that life for you now and also then, and that's the trajectory for all of eternity. And we get the privilege of following Jesus and discovering that life and doing that with one another now. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. We do this and we toil and we strive. We have the days, the proverbial, almost at the end of the day, trading hard and almost to the point of vomiting, the point of being exhausted, the point of muscles being tired, this, you know, the parallel spiritually. We go through these times. Why? Because it is worth it. It is worth it. Because Christ is being formed in you. And that is something you can anchor your identity and your life in that will pay dividends for eternity. And you don't have to worry about that stock market you're investing in crashing. It will never crash. But the question is, and I'm going to get a little bit more into, okay, so where are we going with this discipleship pathway thing? How practically, as a church, we're going to do this? First, I want to talk about why is this vital today? Why is it vital now? So the thing is, we have to focus on this training mindset because by and large, in the church in our day, this has been lost. I'm just going to put it frankly. See, let me do a little bit of, I guess you could say, a history lesson or survey. Throughout the history of the church, by and large, there were times when the church was doing this well. There was this idea within the church that it was about discipleship. And there were things at that point, the church existed largely in smaller cities or villages. And so there are these long-term relationships within a church that you couldn't escape because no one left the village their entire life, right? And you had to lean into your faith and develop over time. You couldn't hide. You couldn't just move around and just move on. You couldn't just feel like you're going deeper, but really all you're doing is jumping churches. And it's horizontal growth, if not backwards growth. And so In the past, what happened was as the church discipled well, this did lead to an overflow into the culture and society around us. This is largely the church in the West. And so what happened was in the West, this is why most of what we would call mediating institutions or organizations are largely, they have a Christian origin. For better or for worse, I'm not saying these organizations, hear me say this, they're not perfect, but they did have a pronounced Christian heritage. So lots of the medical institutions, right? This is why we have things like emergency institutions, like the Red Cross. There's a reason why it's called the Red Cross. All of our university structures, and then from there, educational institutions, they were developed by the church. A lot of our civic organizations were developed by the church. And here's why I'm sharing this, is because these largely were the ones that then over time took the place of the church in forming disciples. So when you do, you live in a society where, by and large, the educational systems, your companies operate by largely Christian standards, and the civic organizations do. Everything around the church would kind of reinforce discipleship. It reinforced that training. It reinforced character formation. It wasn't perfect, again. However, it obviously also was better than ancient pagan Rome. And so what happened was, and that had its strengths, and over time, though, that allowed the church to more and more hand off those discipling functions to those organizations, and then for the church to make its core competency something else. And this is how, by and large, in the West, the church became more, let me overstate it a little bit, maybe not so much, became more of a production center. And the church became more interested in putting on a Sunday where it was something that you could come, you could have an experience, and maybe you get a little bit of teaching. But outside of that, in terms of its core competency, it became more about a production on Sundays and less about training in godliness and discipleship throughout all of life. Now, for a time, for better or for worse, this kind of worked. There's a reason why that could develop. I don't think anyone had malicious intent. Maybe a few folks did. But over time, there's a subtle shift. And what happened was increasingly, as the church became a production center, over time, the culture, though, has shifted. And along with the culture and society, as it shifted from a Judeo-Christian worldview, those institutions and organizations that the church has long relied on to offer essentially formation and discipleship have moved away from Christian foundations. And as that has happened, the church doesn't have a plan. Because our core competency is no longer discipleship, but we expected the schools to do that with the kids. We expected the different organizations to do that and reinforce Christian values in your workplace or whatnot. And so the reason why this is vital now is because this is something that now, as the church is realizing it has a discipleship crisis, there's not a real tangible plan for how to do this. And we have to also figure it out while also, like, really being something that on Sundays it's done well and with an undistracting excellence, but that becomes not our core competency, but that is a competency that supports our core competency, which is discipleship. It's not just about Sundays. It's about all of life. And here's the thing. If you think that you will be able to, in our day, especially if you're younger, the next 60 years, if the Lord gives you that, you think you will be able to continue to grow in Christ's likeness and follow him, and it's only on Sundays that you are learning to follow him, and that's the extent of your faith will not last. It will not last. So this is vital now because we must make it our core competency as a church. So with that, the path forward.
what's the path forward? So we want to become, you've heard this before, we want to become not just, we want to shift from just being a teaching center to being a training center as a church. And we want to offer a tangible, practical pathway forward in the faith. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be breaking down how this works. Next week, well, let me give you a sentence to kind of break down this discipleship pathway so I can walk through some of the different parts. Here's the sentence. Every disciple needs a plan and practices that prepare for the power and presence of God through every phase of life. Now, I know that's a mouthful. I think we do have that one, that slide. Every disciple needs a plan and practices that prepare for the power and presence of God through every phase of life. Now, that's a mouthful. You're not going to see that like written on the wall next week, right? But that helps me then break down what we're talking about with this. Let me say there's a lot of P's in there. Let me give you a P, though, that I couldn't fit into that sentence first. We need partners. We need a context of those around us who support us, who come alongside us, who are partners in redemption, who are partners in pursuing Christ with us, who, yes, will challenge us, but also are merely going to hold us up when we feel we're too weak. When I'm at 10% and you're like, I can be at 90% for you and I can hold you up and support you in this season of life. We all need partners in the faith. And so one of the things we're going to talk about in 2 weeks from now is we're going to talk about some things we're doing with our group structure at Anthem and how that's being done in order to reorient around intentional focus, training in the gospel, and discipleship. But then not only partners, but we do need a plan. This is kind of that regimen, right? This is part of that regimen. We did a sermon series on this going into the summer last year, but the fourth week of this series, we are going to be unpacking the plan for discipleship. This is going to be how do I have a vision plan for where God is calling me to lean in this season of life and set goals and set steps that I will pursue in order to see in order to grow and become a steward of God's glory in whatever domains he's given me and called me to. And so we're gonna unpack that plan, and that's gonna be a part of the core. We're gonna talk about how that's gonna be part of the core of what we do as a church, and we're calling and encouraging everyone to jump into this. Then the third thing is practices. These are those spiritual disciplines, the rhythms of our life. This is part of that regimen as well. Oftentimes what we do is, one, either we only practice something that we're comfortable with, right? Like it's something like, okay, I'm comfortable because I'm more of a, like me, I like the intellectual stuff, so I can read the Bible all day long. Where I struggle is in terms of like going, communing with the Lord, prayer, building healthy relationships, sharing my faith. And so what we're going to talk about is what's historically called a rule of life, which is how to develop a holistic regimen of spiritual disciplines in our life that help us round out our growth and pursue Christ and grow in godliness. So that'll be I think, the fifth week in the series. And then when we talk about phases through every phase of life, the reality is some of you are 20 and you've been a Christian for 10 years. And some of you are 60, and you've been a Christian for 50 years. And also, some of you are 25, and you've been a Christian for 15 years. And some of you are 50, and you've been a Christian for 5 years. We are in different stages of our biological life, but we also are in different stages or phases along the discipleship journey. And so what we want to do is help identify those different stages and provide tools and practical resources along the way. So some of the things that we're starting with are those early stages, equipping tools. And then what we're doing is then developing for those later stages of life, because at that point, it's not as much equipping tools, but it's more and more being able to evolve healthily in our faith as we walk with others through challenging seasons of life. So what will it be? And next week, by the way, again, we're going to hit on Sundays and how they are a part of our growth. What this means is the equipping hour and other equipping events are going to be keyed in around this becoming disciples. They're going to become more and more just focus in on those basic tools or those basic competencies or skills as those who are following Christ, so that you will see things coming up, and we're going to be attempting to get those all those classes out at least a semester in advance, so you can say, hey, there's a week where they're talking about, like, how do I begin practically to memorize God's word? How do I begin to, as a parent, disciple my children? On and on and on. That way you can plan out. I'm going to challenge you in a few weeks. Going forward, as those things come out, I want to encourage you to pick one a semester minimum. Pick one a semester as a next step in which how you can grow in Christ. One of the things as well, I'm gonna hit this here, because they were like, we need the kind of update. This is a little bit of an in-house, I know, sermon, and then also an in-house, rather than an outhouse, but an in-house thing right here to address. Obviously, when I talk about us having a training mindset and having a training pathway with this discipleship pathway, it's helpful to have a training center, like an actual physical place to train. Now, this building, this property, what you're in right now, it does in many ways feel like a barracks, like a frontline triage center for training. However, there are limitations in this space. For instance, right now, we don't have space because every extra square inch of this property is filled with kids' classes. We can't right now, for instance, run a training in another room while this is going on. So this is why we did have to, in a kind of wonky way, structure it where we have an early first service with an hour in between for equipping to save space there, and then with another a little bit later for a second service, right? So things like that. We're trying as wisely as we can to make room on Sundays while you're already here to make the best use of the time, but also to provide equipping. With that, we are continuing, because people are always asking, like, have you ever thought about getting a different building? We are aware that we would love, and some of you know we've had a few close where we've started discussing. So the update, I want to update you. We right now do not have a building. As we've looked, obviously, if anyone knows real estate, everything is as expensive as it's ever been. We have decided we will not put this church into this body into unnecessary long-term debt just to end up funding a building. Okay? Now, with that, that doesn't mean, though, that we are naive to how helpful it would be to have physical space for the sake of training. So right now, there are different things swirling behind the scenes and discussions happening, but right now, we do not have it identified. I also share this publicly, because if you happen to have 40 acres and you would like to donate it, our hearts and hands are open, right? So this is also to publicly, if anyone knows, we do have realities that we are at about the max of what we can do in this space. And I could elaborate on that. There are hours of strategizing over the last year with that. But that would be something I am asking you, therefore, as your pastor, to be praying. Be praying. Lord, would you provide a long-term physical space? It may be in the Lord's plan that this is the space and we'll continue to figure it out. That might be God's plan for us, right? It's not holding us back. Nothing can hold God back. However, in terms of thinking and planning, we are doing our work to plan ahead. So be praying, and also if you know anyone generous who wants to hand us a massive building, then my number is 937. No, most of you have my number. Give them my number. But with that, there are other things coming up we're going to be putting out. We started recording some podcasts. There's going to be a Discipleship Pathway podcast that breaks some of these things down that'll come out as we get later into the series. Here's what excites me about this, though. So here's first action step for today. What excites me? Ending statement, okay? What action step is, we have on the website and in the Church Center app, if you have downloaded that, we have a sign up for the Discipleship Pathway. That is to register so we know you are interested in hearing more about this as it comes available. Okay, so as resources are coming out, we are going to have a launch in May and different things. We are going to just focus emailing through that to get that content out there. Okay, that's where we're going to start. So if you're going, I won, I'm interested in this as we get going. The content, the kind of groups we're going to do, launching, and on and on and on. Sign up online for that. We'll send it out in our email tomorrow, and that allows us to follow up. But here's what excites me. Man, I'm getting emotional. I guess I am excited. As a pastor, let me address some groups. You who are students, our goal for you is not that you would just merely graduate from SALT and it's just a farm system to come on staff for SALT in order to keep SALT going. I said that real direct. Our goal for you is that you would learn to follow Jesus. You would train in godliness so that you are mature beyond your years. God's going to send you somewhere. It could be sending you to VU or somewhere here in town and you stay. God could be sending you to the nations. God could be sending you with one of our church plants. He could be sending you next year to Knoxville with our church plant. He could be sending you across this network. He could be calling you to Chicago where we have no church plants in our network, but he's calling you there as an engineer, as a school teacher, as a full-time mom or dad. He could be sending you there to be an athlete. Wherever he is sending you and has a call upon your life, and we want you to have the muscles of being able to walk with Jesus and self-feed and invest in a church, build a godly family, build a godly community. All of life, we want you to have a vision for discipleship for all of life wherever God would send you. This is a plan to get there. The other thing with this is this does offer some practical, measurable, what is the next step? And here's the reason why this is so important. It's not just that we have boxes to check, like I did that thing. But so often if we don't know, we just hear, hey, be more godly, be sanctified, grow in your faith, follow Jesus. And I'm like, follow Jesus, where is he? I'll follow him, you know? We use all these abstract terms. It's helpful to know, and I, again and again, I'll sit down with, for instance, like a 27-year-old mom or dad, and we talk about the things that they're doing, and they're overwhelmed in that season of life because they're having kids, and they're starting a career, and they're fighting for their marriage, and they're trying to invest in it, and they're trying to scrape out 5 minutes here with the Lord and a little bit of time here with their spouse, and they're really doing it. But they're so down on themselves, and they feel like a failure because no one's saying, you're actually doing it. Keep going. Like, we want to fan in the flame of that. I'm so sick and tired of talking to folks who feel so burnt out and overwhelmed. Everyone just keeps saying, do better. We want to be able to measure it and go, man, I know. You know what? This, in this season right now, man, as I'm starting to launch a career and I'm trying to learn how to be a dad and we keep having kids. I don't know why we keep having kids and they keep showing up and I'm trying to figure out how to do this and I feel like that was me, guys. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Man, I was also a pastor, so figure that one out. But it was like, how do I do this? And it's like having someone come alongside you and go, you know what? Let's put a plan in place and let's figure out how to take a few steps. It's how to figure out a few steps that'll solidify your marriage. Let's get a few steps that'll help you become a dad and learn how to grow. And just take a step and another step. You need that. I need that. And then have others around us who cheer us on and celebrate as we take those steps, who are also serious with us, who want to partner with us in that journey. That's what we want to create as a church. That's what we want to become as a church. We want to see families thriving. And yes, where we fall on our faces, we have others who help pick us up, but that we're progressing and following Christ and training in godliness. And we have a sense of, God, I'm not perfect. I have not reached glory, but in you, I am perfectly set aside and sanctified and made holy. And I'm just walking in your grace, step by step, and you begin to see how Christ makes a difference in all of life. All of life. Our goal is to train and strive to take our next steps and live the life that we were made for, the life that Christ calls us to, both in this life and the next. It is worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, would we be disciples who have a training mindset?
Lord, would this just remind us of that calling, Lord, that high calling that you have a plan for our homes, you have a plan for with our roommates, you have a plan for whatever career you feel like we're just starting off, we're in a major, and we're trying to decide between this way or that way, Lord, whatever stage we're in, Lord, we're at stages of life with grown children, and how do we be the best, godliest grandparents, Lord, how do we invest in our thinking of investing our retirement? How do we invest our time in one another? Lord, would you give us, wherever we're falling asleep, Lord, would you wake us up and remind us that you have a high calling on us? And if we're still here, the journey's not over. The training's not over. Your call upon us hasn't ended. But Lord, you have a high calling upon us, and that we would train in godliness, that we would look more and more like Christ, and we would be Christ's presence in the lives of those around us. And so, Lord, would you just fan into flame reminder of that call you have upon our life and the life that you promise us to. Show us the next steps, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.